Please turn to John chapter 15, verse 26, where we'll, Lord willing, do chapter 16 and 17 tonight. Last week, He is the vine, we are the branches. We receive our strength through Jesus. And for those that are just joining us, we need to put in context these two chapters are as Jesus and His disciples are leaving the room that they shared in the Last Supper. Jesus is headed to Gethsemane, to the Garden of Gethsemane, where He knows He's going to be betrayed. And while He's walking along, He's sharing these last words with His disciples. And by the way it flows, it must have been at times He's stopping to pray. Chapter 17, it's like He stops to pray to the Father with His disciples there. And then at the end of chapters, beginning of chapter 18, it says, then after He said those things, then He crossed the brook, Kidron Brook, to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And again, for those that haven't been to Israel or seen a picture of it, it's really just kind of a short walk. So he's leaving the Jerusalem proper, coming down the valley towards the Kidron Valley Brook. And then you just go just a couple minutes, you're in the Garden of Gethsemane from the brook. And not even a couple minutes, really, depending on exactly where they cross the brook. And you're in the garden. And so Jesus is speaking while He's leaving the room, heading towards Gethsemane. And in John chapter 15, verse 26, closing out chapter 15, it says, but when the Helper, meaning the Holy Spirit that He had promised them, comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. You're going to bear witness to these things. The Holy Spirit's going to come inside of you. And it says the Helper, who is the Holy Spirit, and it says it's a Spirit of truth. And so the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God, as well as Jesus is God and the Father is God, and because God cannot lie, as it says in the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit cannot lie. And so if you're under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, whether you're teaching the Word or sharing or fellowshipping or whatever else, you're not going to be lying. If you're lying, it's because it's the spirit of you or the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the world, the spirit of Satan inside of us, because the Holy Spirit is truth. It's always the truth. And this chapter talks, this coming chapter 16 is truth. That God wanted to leave us the truth. The truth testifies of Jesus. Why would the truth, the Holy Spirit is going to speak the truth, and the truth is going to testify, the Holy Spirit's going to testify of Jesus. And so why would the truth be Jesus, the testimony of Jesus? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we're talking about the biblical Jesus, we are talking the foundation of truth. So in chapter 16, verse 1, these things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. So we find out this is the Word of God. Jesus has just spoken the Word of God, and He's saying, I'm saying these things so that you do not stumble. And so that means that if I don't know the Word of God, if I don't listen to the things that Jesus is saying, what will happen? I will stumble. So the Word of God is to keep me from stumble, and we must know it or we will stumble. And it's the source of apostasy, and many fall into stumbling, questioning the tenets of the Scripture because they do not listen to what God has said. They will put you, talking to his 11 apostles, they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. They did that in their days. They did kill the apostles, except for John. And they do it today all over the world. They kill people that are testifying of Jesus because they cannot handle the truth. And if I'm being persecuted as a Christian, then I'm going to stumble unless I have the Word of God, the promises that Jesus told me it was going to happen. And that's what he goes on to say. He's saying these things so that they would not stumble, so they would remember them. Persecution makes people stumble unless they meditate on the promises of God. If they're sticking bamboo up my fingernails for saying I believe in Jesus, I'm going to say, oh, forget it, forget it, forget it, unless I remember that he who denies me before man, I'll deny him before my Father. Unless I remember the words of Jesus that said that if you give up your life in this world, you'll gain everlasting life. But if you hold on to your life in this world, you'll lose everlasting life. So those words keep me from stumbling, saying, hey, stick the bamboo up the fingernails, whatever else you want to do, even though it hurts, I'm not going to deny my Jesus. Because he has given me the truth that I will live for him, with him forever. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. Now these were, who's he talking about? If you get kicked out of the synagogue, who kicks you out of the synagogue? The rabbi of the synagogue, head religious dude. And what Jesus is saying is a lot of religious people in the apostles' day and even today don't know God. They don't know the Father. They don't know the Son. So they were persecuting the ones who did know the Father and did know the Son. They will do it because they don't know the Father. And if they don't know the Father, they don't know Jesus. And they don't know, if they don't know Jesus, they don't know the Father. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? Now, this is going to be confusing. It's going to go in with the following verses. So let's turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 33. He's saying, I didn't tell you these things at the beginning. Why? Because he was with them. He was with them in the beginning. He's now getting ready to leave as he's about to explain to them. And he knows they're going to be overwhelmed with the events that are about to transpire. And so I didn't tell you all this stuff at the beginning, because I've been with you, and you're not asking, where am I going? And let's look at Mark chapter 10, verse 33. Matthew has a similar passage. Jesus said, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him, scourge him, spit on him, kill him, and the third day he will rise again. Now, did the disciples say, whoa, 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 wait a second. You're going to die, and then what's going to, where are you going to go? When you die, you're going to go into the, and what do you mean by coming back the third day? Then what happens after that? Did the disciples ask that question?
No.
No, they didn't. And what I think Jesus is saying here, in going, you know, back to chapter 16, verse 5, is he's saying, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? Well, and actually, keep your finger in Mark, because we're gonna see that they don't say, you know, they don't ask him where he's going. But again, in verse 5, you don't ask me for the details of what I've told you. But it's about to happen. The details are about to happen, because what did they do? In verse 35, sorry to have confused you there. In verse 35, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, grant us that we may sit on the right hand and on the other, on the left hand in your glory. So Jesus says, I'm about to be spit upon, crucified, and everything else. And do you care for the details? No, we want to know who sits next to you in your kingdom. We have our agenda. Somehow you're going to work into our agenda. The stuff about dying, I mean, we can't figure that out. So would you please help us know who's going to be King Bwana in your kingdom? And, you know, Jesus is saying, now we can officially go back to John 16:5. None of you is asking me, where are you going? You really don't listen, you guys. And for us, we know where he went. We know he went into the grave for 3 days. We know he even descended into hell and preached to the spirits that then in the days of Noah, and, you know, we're not going to get into all that. Now, he burst out of the grave, and then he walked with the apostles for 40 days, and then he went to heaven. We know the apostles told us he went there. But we're living by faith now with what Jesus told us was going to happen. And what is our faith now for what Jesus said? The world's going to continue to decay. There's going to be perilous times. There's going to be wars, rumors of wars, nations against nation, pestilence, all this other stuff. They're going to continue to hate us in the last days. People are going to turn away from the truth and turn to teachers having itching ears, listening to anything but the truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's going to be a rapture of the church when he comes and gets us, and the world's going to be put into tribulation, and then he comes in glory at his second coming. And there are, sadly, many Christians who make that a big yawner. Oh, yeah, I don't want to hear prophecy. There's such a turning away from prophecy in our day. They don't want to hear the promises of the truth. And so they're just like the disciples saying, yeah, I know you said you're coming back, but why don't we just make the Christian world for you? You know, we're going to Christianize the world through, you know, the church taking over. And we'll dumb down the message so more people come in, and that'll be good enough. And that's what's happening. Just like the disciples weren't listening. But because, verse 6, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. You know, you're starting to be sorry that I'm telling you I'm going away. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, let that really sink in. I mean, the disciples, the apostles, were in the exact presence with God Himself in Jesus. And Jesus said, you know what? I know you're liking this, but it's actually going to be better. It's going to be better because I'm sending the Holy Spirit. How can it be better that the Holy Spirit comes when they have God in flesh incarnate, Jesus, right there next to them? Is because He's only next to them. He's not in them. He isn't in them. And if you haven't experienced the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, then beg God for it. And if it's because you're not saved, get saved. And then when you are saved, beg God, I want to experience that. I want to experience knowing God inside of me, speaking to me, making His Word alive to me, letting me discern things that are going on, and being able to realize God is using me. God has just directed me over to that person. I mean, I have this thought in my mind, go to that person and just ask them how they're doing. And all of a sudden when I ask, they say, why did you come? I was just praying, God, if you're really out there, send somebody. I mean, there's so many testimonies of that that people have experienced, and even me at times. At other times I sit there and I just kick myself because I felt the leading and I didn't listen. But then when you do listen and you sit there and you get to sense, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me inside my heart. And greater things than these happen. What an amazing thing. And Jesus can only be in one place at one time, ministering to 11 or, you know, thousands when he's feeding the 5,000 he can able to talk to them. But how many is God able to minister to now? Millions all over the world. It is important for me to go away because my Holy Spirit is not limited by where He is. He will be in every true believer on this planet, ministering to them and using them by His power. And it is something that is dished out in the proportion that we're trusting and walking in the light with Him. And staying away from the world and asking God for Him to give us an extra portion. I mean, we're all filled with the Spirit as far as saved, but to listen to Him speaking to us is something that goes with the asking and the pursuing. And when He has come, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit has come to dwell inside of us and speak to us, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, is there some place that the Holy Spirit has articles that He writes in the newspapers to the world to say these things? Is there some billboard that He has? You. See, the Holy Spirit is in us, and this is what God says the ministry of the Holy Spirit is in us, to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Because that's how He ministers. He doesn't have a Facebook page and says, people want to friend me and I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. So, about sin. What is that? to, you know, the sin is to not believe in Jesus as a Savior. Of sin because they do not believe in me. So what is our mission as Christians then? Filled with the Holy Spirit. We talk to people. Oh yeah, I don't like your Jesus. Well, let me tell you, you're in trouble. Because you do not believe in the only name given among men under heaven whereby you can be saved. You're in sin. It is the sin of the Bible is the rejection of Jesus as Savior. Of righteousness, because no longer is Jesus here to be that perfect example of righteousness and to be able to forgive and impart righteousness. And so we're here. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us, through us, to people. You can be made righteous. You are in sin because you haven't believed in Jesus. But if you believe in Jesus, He can make you righteous. He can let you be forgiven of sins and impart His righteousness and of judgment for those, because the ruler of this world is judged. If you listen to Satan and reject Jesus your whole life, you're going to be judged. So if Christians stop talking about hell, what have they erased out of the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Judgment. If we stop saying Jesus, your rebellion against Jesus is sin that will lead to everlasting damnation. If we don't talk about Jesus and being saved by Jesus in righteousness, we have denied the very power of the Holy Spirit and His message to this world, according to Jesus. And many have noticed that in the pulpits across the world, these things are being left out, discussing sin, discussing hell, judgment. Discussing the righteousness that comes through Jesus. Righteous living, too. You know, why does somebody in the world want to believe that our Jesus has the power to make us righteous and to change our hearts if we ourselves are a slave to sin all over the place? You guys are hypocrites. We don't want to listen to you. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He'll tell them after He resurrects from the grave and later on through the Holy Spirit as He gives the Holy Spirit to us. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and He will tell you things to come. And Jesus goes on to say, and I'm the one that speaks to the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And so the Holy Spirit's been sent by God to tell the message of Jesus. Which is clearly then Jesus being deity. And the Holy Spirit spoke the truth through the apostles to tell us things to come in the prophetic word. And again, it amazes me that people would turn away from the prophetic word when it was given by God. Now, the Holy Spirit spoke to these people to speak of the things He was telling them. You're going to be telling the people in the future, you know, 2012. You're going to be telling them things to come. The Holy Spirit's going to come and you're going to be given prophecies as you write the New Testament. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Anybody that is a true Christian is going to not waste much time before they glorify Jesus in their conversation, because that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons, you know, and these others, you know, we're Jehovah Witnesses. We only worship the true God. Jesus is just an archangel, Michael, and, you know, He's not God. Well, Jesus said the Holy Spirit was sent to glorify Jesus. So that must mean that Jesus is God. He was sent by Yahweh to be God, because the Holy Spirit was sent by the Father. And the Father told Him what to say. The Father told Him to glorify Jesus, to be Jesus' witnesses. All things that, verse 15, that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that He will take of mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while, you will see me, because I go to the Father. Now think, they're going to say, what do you mean? You see me, a little while you're not going to see me. Then you're going to see me because I go to the Father. Well, so Jesus is with the Father now. He's talking about when He ascended. Do you see Jesus? I see Jesus here. You know, again, because He sent the Holy Spirit, we see Jesus. We sense Him. We know He's alive. We know that He's changing our lives because of what He's done. Then some of His disciples said among themselves, What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, you will see me, and because I go to the Father. We really can't blame them, can we? It made no sense. It makes no sense. The spiritual realm, it just proves how far human beings are from understanding the spiritual truths of God. And even today, for us to totally grasp the words of Jesus, you get to see me if you believe in me, if you receive the Holy Spirit, and you listen to him, and you look at his word, and you say, God, show me Jesus. And then out of the pages, all of a sudden, the words are not just black and white, something we're reading to get through our Bible through the year plan, but because we're seeking Almighty God, and he just leaps out of the page, and we sense him in our heart. They said, therefore, why is this? What is this that he says a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now, Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again, a little while and you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament when you don't see me, because I'm going in the tomb. Now, that's what he's saying. You're going to weep. In a little while, you're going to figure out what I told you is the truth. I'm going to go into the tomb, and you are going to think I'm never going to see Jesus again. But the world will rejoice. And I'm sure the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, had a high fives on that day. We are done with this problem child, Jesus. And Pilate said, calm, finally, I'll just be able to not deal with this issue. And you will be sorrowful because they think Jesus is gone forever. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. When? At the resurrection, I think, was the taste of it. The taste of joy. But when did it really come? It really came when Jesus was in them, upon them. And on Pentecost, I actually believe Jesus went in them after the resurrection, before he ascended and before Pentecost. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they sensed Jesus is in us working and giving us boldness and giving us power and able to discern silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk, and to see somebody walk, that's when, wow, Jesus is not dead. Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit. He is in each one of us, and we get to serve this Almighty God. A woman, verse 21, Jesus speaking, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. You know, our salvation was painful, and Jesus bore that pain. To give birth, to allow me to be born again, he had to die on the cross. And it was sorrowful for those that were watching, not understanding what was going on. And Jesus goes, you're not going to understand. Right now, in a few hours, you're going to hear me just going through birth pang agony. But don't worry, because when I finish the process, you are born again. You're going to be born into the spiritual world. You're going to be born into heaven. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. The biblical Christian cannot have his joy taken away, his or her joy taken away. Joy is, I'm going to heaven, and I know Jesus, and he's in me, and I in him, and I have a new name in heaven. I have reservations in the streets of gold and the mansions that Jesus has made for me. And you can mess with me on this earth, but I know where I'm going, and they cannot take that joy away. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Up until now, these last 3 years, hey, Jesus, they say they want some tax money. What do we do? And Jesus gives them the tax money. Jesus, we're drowning. The boat's flooding. The storms are bad. We need your help. What do we do? And Jesus then calms the waters. And they think that because Jesus is right with them, they can ask him whatever they want to. And Jesus is saying, pretty soon, you're not going to ask me. Pretty soon, I'm not going to be here to deal with all the things you've asked me. From now on, you're going to talk to the Father in my name. And he has given me all things while I'm down here, but I'm going to be gone. So he has all things to give to you, but it's going to be in my name. And he explains that as he goes on, and where he says, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. And that's why, you know, I notice sometimes, I've been to churches sometimes where the pastor or others, they don't pray in Jesus' name. There's got to be something wrong, because this chapter is I come to the Father in Jesus' name, right? And so if I'm not saying in Jesus, Father, I am coming to you because of what Jesus did for me. That was the prescription that God gave us. It's the prescription that the Holy Spirit's placed in my heart. I'm coming because of Jesus. And if we don't say in Jesus' name, there's something wrong, because we think there's some other means by which we're going to the Father. And that's why the world hates the name of Jesus. That's why chaplains all over the country are being told by the Obama administration, you cannot say in Jesus' name, because there's power in Jesus' name. That's what makes the distinction between all the other religions and the relationship that a man and a woman can have in God through Jesus, is in Jesus' name. And that's an offense. It's an offense to Satan and his troopers and his demons. And that's why the world hates that name. But we must use this name. And we must always glorify God through Jesus. And then it says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, again, the apostles were asking everything, calming the oceans and everything from Jesus. But see, the Bible says you're supposed to ask of God. But again, Jesus was clearly God to them. And now he's saying, I'm going, so just keep asking, but it's through me. And this is why it's also so blasphemous to pray in Mary's name, and why it's a cult, why it's a false religion, why hundreds of millions of people are going to be religious in this world, deceived by popes into using Mary's name, when, in fact, Jesus said to use his name. And they're going to wake up and realize, oh, it's not Mary that dispenses the graces of the Father. See, Satan knows the power is in Jesus' name. Our access to the Father is in Jesus' name. So what does he want to do? He wants to change it. He wants to mix it up into something else. Because if he gets people to do something else, then they've missed the true relationship that they can have with the Father. And we have to warn them. You know, again, the Holy Spirit's in us doing what? Convicting the world of sin. You're not believing in what Jesus said. You're believing in what the Pope said. You're believing in what other people have said about Mary. God's Word doesn't say we approach the Father through Mary. And so you're not believing Jesus. You don't believe Jesus. You're in sin. You're going to be judged by God. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative languages, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. And that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. So now this is so important. What Jesus is saying is, you know, I'm not going to be up on the right hand of the Father, and you're praying to the Father, and I'm having to say, hey, Father, could you please listen to him? I know you don't like him, but because I went down there and died on the cross for them, could you please, 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 just fill him with your Spirit? You say, I'm not going to have to do that. I don't have to egg the Father on, because the Father already loves you. The Father wants to give you what you're asking for in my name. Why? This is so important. For the Father himself loves you, because why? You have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. Imagine that. This is what it takes to have a relationship with God. You have to love Jesus to have a relationship with the Father. And you have to believe that God the Father sent him in the womb of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit, to walk on this earth as a representative of who he is. If you believe in that biblical Jesus, that he was sent by the Father, and that you love Jesus, then the Father is ready to usher you in. He doesn't need to be talked into a relationship with you. And again, compare that to what Catholicism teaches. Catholicism teaches that God is really angry with all of us. He doesn't like us at all. And what we have to do is talk to Mary, who's the mother of Jesus, because mothers have a way with their boys. And I am not exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. This is the concept that's taught to every Catholic, because, you know, mothers have control over their boys, just like at the turning the water into wine. You know, do what he says. You know, Jesus, you know, turn the water into wine. And so we go to Mary and say, Mary, could you please go to Jesus and the Father to dispense the graces to allow me to have everlasting life? And that's why they say, Hail Mary, full of grace. This is a version of the Hail Mary prayer. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So, Mary, will you please talk to God and pray for us that somehow the dispensing of the graces of God can be ushered through you to us at our death? And I want to emphasize, in a time where very few are, and, you know, people lost their lives by the thousands trying to point this out in better days in the church, when the church was strongly warning in the Protestant Reformation of the lies of Catholicism, when their eyes of the Reformation opened and they read the Word of God and they were reading John chapter 16 and chapter 17, and they were realizing, I can go straight to God through Jesus Christ, and I can have everlasting life, and I don't have to go through an organization. I don't have to depend on the Pope to give me the right waving of incense. I don't need my priest to be there at my bedside and making petitions with Mary that maybe the dispensing of graces can happen. I don't have to have the priest convince my relatives to put money in the plate to get me out of purgatory to go to heaven. I can go right to Jesus and believe in him because I love him. And that Protestant Reformation has allowed us to have the truth. And it's being undone today in the ecumenical movement, and may God help us. I came forth from the Father, verse 28, and have come into the world. I was with the Father in the beginning. I came forth from Him. I came into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. And his disciples said to him, See, now you're speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. So they're saying, oh, we figured it out. Okay, you came, we see you, then we're not going to see you, then we're going to see you. We know you're saying you're going to go to the Father. And as soon as, you know, Elijah comes back with his ring of chariots that took him up into heaven. You know, you're going to take that up to the Father, and then you're coming right back, right? And that's when we're going to set up our kingdom. We got it figured out. Jesus answered them, Really? Do you now believe? You really think you got it? You really think you understand what I have been saying? And the answer Jesus knew was, No. You don't get it. Verse 32. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each one to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You don't get it. I'm not just going to go on a UFO ship up to the Father and come back and see you next week, and that's the answer to all these things I've been telling you. I am going to the cross. And you're going to drop your swords and scatter. Even you who said, Peter, who said that you're willing to die for me, you're going to go because you do not understand. And I'm going to be left alone, but not really, because I and the Father are going to finish this mission to rescue you. And, you know, the same thing happens to us. I mean, the world's going to leave you. As the day gets closer of Jesus' return, as more and more people apostatize, as more and more people stop letting the Holy Spirit speak to them the message of sin, righteousness, and judgment. As more and more people hate that message and disdain it, you'll have family leave you, relatives leave you, co-workers leave you. But are you alone? We're not alone. Even if everybody leaves us, we're not alone. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's in us. And we know that Jesus is in us. And we know that we are going to the Father through Jesus. And that He can be there. We can be in solitary. It's impossible for a Christian to be in solitary confinement. In fact, if they ever say, we're going to throw you in solitary. Yeah, you can't do that. What do you mean? We can do it. I mean, it's a room and it's just going to be this big and you're going to be the only one in there. Nope, you can't do that. What do you mean? Because I got Jesus. Me and Jesus, we're going to get through this because He's given me the Holy Spirit. These things I have spoken, if we listen to Him, then we may have peace. In the world, we will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. If we ever lack peace in the future, the world blows up, EMPs, you know, TVs don't work, cars don't work, economy collapses, nukes are going off all over the world. If all that stuff that many are thinking could come to the world soon happens, I guarantee you, Kevin will lose his peace. But spiritual reborn Kevin, if he trusts God and leans on the promises of Jesus and His Word, all of a sudden that lost peace will be revived with God's peace. If I take the time, see, Jesus said, I spoke these things so that you can have peace. If we don't listen to what He spoke, we're going to lose our peace. So I purposed in my heart, just in this study, and we're not going to do 17. I purposed in my heart, God, when those times come, help me to be quick to stop thinking, oh, what do I do? But to think it's time to pray. It's time to let the peace of God rule inside me and start rattling off all the promises Jesus made in this chapter. Open your Bibles to John 16 and let the peace of God rule your heart. Amen? And we're going to sing a song that's written on verse 33. Here is a closer. So let's pray and then we'll worship God in this closing song. Father, we thank You. We are so thankful that You so loved us, that You sent Jesus. And for all the souls on this planet who love Jesus, because You so loved us, are going to be in heaven with You. And Lord, we want to love Jesus even more. We want to believe even more the miraculous deliverance that You've given us by sending Him into this broken, dark, sinful world to take our place in punishment, to cry out, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Lord, to then just give us the Holy Spirit where we sense Jesus in us and living and breathing in a spiritual way. And God, we pray for more of it. I pray for Your saints of this church that we could get out of the world and the world's ways enough to just experience being led and directed and filled up and fueled up by the power of Your Spirit. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
For I have overcome the world. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. hearken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. For Jesus overcomes the world.
If you're lacking that peace tonight, if there's something troubling you, and you know, just come and pray. Believe what Jesus has promised. And, you know, there's going to be other troubling times ahead. Let's remember what Jesus promised. Amen. And receive that promise as we trust in Him. God bless you and enjoy your fellowship. But if you have prayer requests, please come up and we'll lay hands on you and pray for you.